Blog Talk Radio.
Special edition of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Center Stage is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about the kidnapping and murder of Eliza Fletcher and the connection this case has to the kidnapping of Kemper Duran in 2000. In the early morning hours of May 25, 2000, Kemper Duran was kidnapped by Cleotha Aston and an accomplice. Cleotha Aston would spend the next 20 years in prison for his role in the kidnapping. Fast forward to September 2, 2022, when Eliza Fletcher was kidnapped on Central Avenue while jogging. According to news reports, clues quickly began to pour into the Memphis Police Department, and Cleotha Pookie Aston was the main suspect. Within 72 hours, there was a kidnapping, murder, and a body discovered, and Cleotha Aston was charged with Eliza Fletcher's murder. However, is that the end of the story? We soon found out Kemper Duran worked at Lewis Thomason's law firm with Mike Kenney. Mike Kenney is Richard Fletcher's uncle. That said, is there a connection between the kidnapping of Kemper Duran and the kidnapping of Eliza Fletcher? That's what we're talking about tonight. However, this case is being called a random attack on a stranger. Tonight, we will explore why this case may not be so random at all. But before we begin, a disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or any future advertisers. With that said, let's talk Center Stage. Let me open the phone lines up, and my co-host is in the building. Good evening, Reggie. How are you? Good evening. Hello? Okay. We're having some phone problems here. But let me set the stage as we're getting the phone lines all worked out. This happened September, the early morning of September 2nd, 2022, at about 4:20 a.m., we understand, or thereabout, Eliza Fletcher went jogging. We understand this is her normal routine. She's an avid jogger. Somewhere in between her normal routine and getting back home that morning, allegedly she was approached very violently, and I say allegedly, by Cleotha Aston. That said, they are stating that Cleotha then forced Eliza Fletcher into his GMC Terrain vehicle on the passenger side. They understand, or they allegedly say, there was a struggle. Then the GMC Terrain some kind of way sits in the parking lot for about 4 minutes. And then it pulls off. That's about the beginning. I should say the beginning, I think. I don't know where this thing is going, but we're going to see tonight. About 6:45, we understand that one of Mr. Fletcher's friends, per his request, went out looking for Eliza and came upon a water bottle, a cell phone, and a pair of men's sliders. We understand that this friend then takes the sliders and the water bottle and the cell phone to Mr. Fletcher. At 7 o'clock, we understand by 7 o'clock, Mr. Fletcher has called his friend. He's called the University of Memphis Police, and he's also called the Memphis Police Department. That said, at 7 a.m., he files a police report that his wife is missing. After that, things began to, according to the police affidavit, unravel pretty quickly. Allegedly, at about 7:50 a.m., Cleotha Abston is seen at his brother's house in the Longview Gardens apartment on South Orleans, washing allegedly clothes in his sink. He is also observed, they say, according to the police affidavit, cleaning the floor of the GMC Terrain, they say, with floor cleaner. So one would think if allegedly you're cleaning bloody clothes and you're cleaning, you know, blood off of a GMC Terrain, that there would be blood to be discovered, because we all know, according to watching all of these crime shows we watch, that you cannot wash blood off of surfaces. So we are being told by people very close to Mr. Abston's family that there was no blood found in the sink, and there was no blood found in the GMC Terrain. We're also being told that Cleotha does not have any wounds on him, any defense wounds on him whatsoever. The family is also saying to pay attention that the vehicle that they say is a GMC Terrain, that's simply a still shot in which you cannot clearly see if that's a GMC Terrain. It's a side view. So you cannot truly, according to their family, make out that that's a GMC Terrain and whether or not that's actually Cleotha's vehicle that he was driving, or the GMC Terrain that he was driving. So the family believes that all of this pretty much is circumstantial evidence, and that nothing really clearly shows that Cleosa was the person that abducted, kidnapped, and murdered Eliza Fletcher. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Do the clues really say what we're hearing they say, or is there more to this story? I see my co-host is joining me. We're going to try these phone lines again. Are you there, Reggie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So there's a lot going on with this particular story, and we're understanding things may not be what they appear to be. Would you agree?
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time this has happened on this type of level. This is just the latest.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just learned from past experience, it's always best to look twice, or as Judge Maybelline say, look deep before you leap.
Absolutely.
Jumping into conclusions and falling into the ears of what they say on TV about, you know, the court of public opinion is always what you try to win first in these cases, when you need to be trying to win by the evidence on the case and the merits of a case. Right now, it just seems like this thing's almost like the Kennedy assassination all over again.
It seems like, in my opinion, one thing that I've noticed is that it seems to have come together very quickly. I mean, it almost seems like a episode of the reality show 48 Hours, in which, you know, you have a crime committed, and then, you know, all of a sudden the detectives are hot on the case, and the next thing you know, by the end of the hour, the entire case has been solved. And that's pretty much what it's looking like on this particular situation, because it doesn't seem logical that this many clues were investigated this quickly. The DNA came back, and they found out where he worked, and then they found video of him in the same sliders that were found at the scene. It just all seems very suspicious, if I can use that word, that this much, I mean, it would literally have to be the whole Memphis Police Department on one case in order for all of this to come together. And it just seems odd that the first thing I think that stands out is that he was able to file a missing persons report. And I know you can, but typically it does not happen where you can file a missing persons report in just a matter of hours. I looked it up, and you can, but I've never seen a case of it before this one where you were able to actually do it. To me, that's the
right first,
you know.
Use it at least 72 hours.
That's what I'm saying, or at least 24 or something. And it just doesn't seem like the police could have possibly gotten enough information to have immediately, you know, jumped into the investigation, you know, full throttle. It just seems like, really? And I think what I'm seeing, the second thing is, if I thought someone was missing, I never saw any report that said the husband called the cell phone. Now, I saw where he called the University of Memphis police, but I did not see, and also saw where he called the Memphis Police Department, but I never saw anywhere where he said or stated, I called my wife's phone 24 times, or I called my wife's phone 50 times and she didn't pick up. That's what I found missing, Reggie, that there was no mention of how many times he tried reaching the wife before he went into panic mode. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. And so that said, that was a clue to me that, wow, he never mentions that he repeatedly, you know, tried to reach her phone and she didn't answer, which put him in panic mode. And so therefore, you know, he began to call friends. The second thing I found odd was that he would call a friend and tell a friend to come across town to look for his wife. And then why would you assume that the friend would be able to find her. I think I would have more quickly gotten into my car, put the two kids in the back seat, and I would have driven the route rather than call someone and ask them to drive the route. Does that make sense? Or would you have done otherwise? Am I having trouble?
I mean, one of the things that would have made me concerned was that what if she stopped off somewhere to get something to eat or, you know, go buy Starbucks or something? Does she does everything so rigidly that she comes exactly right back at the same time, does this and that at the same time? To me, it seems almost like you anticipated everything that was going to happen in every sequence.
That's
now, just,
very
now, of course, that's just mere speculation, but that's what a detective would normally be trying to draw up as he's processing this case. But it seemed like everything was just gift-wrapped and handed over to them, you know, before the 5 o'clock news came on that day. They already had the suspect in custody. They had evidence linking him to it. And then, of course, they had those steel photographs that we've seen over and over again from the cameras on the street.
Right. And I am just of the thinking, though, I just can't imagine that I would have called the police in that short a period of time. I just can't imagine that happening. What we know about Eliza Fletcher, she was a 34-year-old. She was married to Richard Fletcher III. Fletcher allegedly went missing, according to her husband. He suspected her of being missing, I guess, sometime. You know, the thing is, this is the suspicious part. If she did not return home immediately, and he called the police at 7 a.m., that means he went into panic mode much sooner. Because if at 6:45 the friend had already discovered the sliders, what time did he call the friend? And so if she left the house somewhere between 4 and 4:20, at what point did he immediately discover that there was a problem? So the timeline is getting real tight between the time that he decided something had to be wrong and the time that he started calling friends. Because if his friend was able to get in on a bike, I read bike several times, on a bike and ride over to where she normally took her route, it just seems very odd that he didn't go into panic mode very early, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just saying that part is very suspicious to me. And another thing, you know, if you, let's just say by 6 o'clock, he went into panic mode. That's kind of early to even start calling friends who don't live in the neighborhood. You know, again, I would have probably, if I became that suspicious, would have got in my car, put the kids in the back seat, whether they were crying or not or upset or, you know, whatever, and began to go and look for her myself. So I don't know that I clearly understand that. And another thing I don't understand is why have we not heard anything from Richard Fletcher himself? I can understand Richard Fletcher is emotional. I can get that. I understand that, you know, maybe a lot's going on this week. I get that. But at the same time, why do you need a lawyer spokesperson to speak for the family rather than you say, please help me find my wife? And why would you put out a reward of $50,000 and only say the $50,000 reward would be given out only if it led to her safe return? So that's literally saying if she is found dead, that there will be no reward giving. Why would that be the case? Why would you automatically assume that she would be found dead? So it's just many things that are very, very suspicious. And I say that because if this case was still ongoing, we were still looking for a possible suspect, I could see. But the fact that, you know, we've already determined that this crime was one that was done by Cleotha Aston and that it was a random act, you know, committed on a stranger, that's just a lot of, in my opinion, speculation. And if Mr. Cleotha Aston has not told you this himself, who made that determination? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, because
that goes back to another question. Okay, they say they have video of the fight, the struggle of him grabbing her and putting her in the car. Putting in the van and everything. But yet they have never aired that on TV yet. All we've seen is that one grainy photo of a vehicle, and then the grainy photo of her with the shorts on and everything, and her back making a little cut in the move, and that's all we've seen. And I just think I would like to know a lot more before I really just start drawing a conclusion that they got their man.
I agree, and I think I watched the video of a young lady, a young black lady who had a bonnet on, a black bonnet. And on the video, the lady was very clear to say that the police searched this area a day before with cadaver dogs. And so why are they back searching the same area? Well, if you know anything about cadaver dogs, they pick up scent. Most dogs do. But you would think that a dog that was trained to pick up scent would be able to pick up this woman's scent, because, you know, they probably had given the cadaver dog more than likely clothes that belonged to this woman. So it's very odd that they bring out police officers, they search a field, they search a bayou close to the Longview Gardens apartment, which is on South Orleans. Victor Street obviously runs very close to Orleans Street. That said, nothing was found the first day. And then they come back and they search again the next day, Monday. They searched Sunday. They did not find anything. They returned again on Monday. And allegedly in the afternoon of Monday, they found a body. The witnesses are saying the body was just in the field. So how is it that officers and cadaver dogs were searching the same field the day before and found no body, but suddenly the body appears on Monday and they find the body? So I just find that very strange. So the witnesses were starting to speculate that maybe someone had put the body there after the police had searched the area. I don't know.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing, it seems like the only person that seemed to be making any sense is Cleosa, because he's not saying anything, which under circumstances, I wouldn't be saying nothing either. But it seems to me like they're going to hang all this on him regardless of whatever happens. Let's say they find out somebody else might be tied to it. They're going to some way, somehow put him to this, because if they don't, you're talking about a lawsuit from hell. The way they went about doing this whole thing. So I just think the way they conveniently pulled this man out of thin air, pulled up his criminal past out of thin air, and, you know, and then they saying that he was in the area at the same time. I mean, almost like an episode of Chicago PD.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, let's not fail to mention that this was just not anybody, you know, just a poor teacher who was out jogging at that hour of the morning. Eliza Fletcher was an heir to the Orgill. Her father, let me say it a different way. Her grandfather was Joseph Joe Orgill. He was the tycoon billionaire that was, you know, founder of Orgill Inc. And so she was not just a poor girl out jogging early that morning. So it does change the possible motive that someone may have kidnapped her because of who she was. So when we say, this was just a random act, it could be more than just a random act if you're talking about someone who's a possible heir to a billion-dollar fortune. So I just think it may be more than what we're understanding. And so, you know, what's very odd is I posted a very detailed breakdown of this particular case, and some kind of way on Facebook, it has disappeared. Now, I find that very suspect. And I think you saw that post, Reggie, where I broke down everything about Cleopatra and everything about Eliza, and suddenly it's disappeared.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's very suspicious on so many levels, and I just find it just highly unlikely that a person, even a person of Cleopatra's background, was on the same street at the same time. He just happened to find an heiress to someone that was rich and not know anything at all firsthand, like someone didn't give him no intel on what time she's going to be there, what time she's doing this and that. 4 a.m. is a very, very bewitching time. I mean, the only people that's out there on the street are the people who want to be out there, and they're out there for a particular reason. And I just don't see fishing and hunting for joggers as being one of those things you're just going to put on your schedule. It's not like bird watching.
No, and I was told by someone close to the family that Cleopatra has a sleeping disorder in which he can literally be standing up talking to someone and fall asleep in the middle of the conversation. So that may explain, you know, why he could be someone possibly out, you know, at odd hours of the night, but still that does not make someone guilty of a kidnapping and a murder. And I think, you know, one thing we use on this show a lot is allegedly, and I think everyone should basically keep that in mind, that, you know, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, I've seen a lot of lynch mobs on the internet concerning this particular case, and I think you have to really be careful not to assume. Oh, here's my information. Here we go.
Okay,
let me tell you what we know about this young woman. First of all, she was 31 years old, a white female, wife of Richard Fletcher III, mother of two, kindergarten teacher, heiress to the billionaire hardware tycoon Joseph Joe Orgill III. Regular jogger around Central Avenue, according to the University of Memphis police. She was kidnapped September 2nd, 2022, sometime after 14 a.m. while jogging on Central Avenue. Allegedly, a GMC Terrain was in the area where Fletcher was jogging and allegedly got ahead of her, waited for her to catch up. Allegedly, a video is somewhere that shows a man exits the vehicle quickly and forces Fletcher into the GMC Terrain passenger side. And allegedly, this license plate that they saw had two letters that they were able to see, and that was D and X. There was also allegedly, there was damage to the taillight. According to this alleged video, there was a struggle between the person that abducted her, Eliza Fletcher, and the abductor. The GMC, they said, was sitting in the parking lot for 4 minutes before it took off. At 6:45 a.m. September 2nd, biker, family friend of Richard Fletcher, finds Fletcher's water bottle, cell phone, and men's champion sliders outside a house owned by the University of Memphis. He turns the items into Richard Fletcher, the third, and then Fletcher turns them over to the police. We understand at 7 a.m. on September 2nd, Richard Fletcher reports the wife missing after he had contacted some friends and the University of Memphis police. Eliza never returned home from her job. Eliza Fletcher's body was found near the Longview Gardens apartments on South Orleans, near where Mario Abson, the brother of Cleopatra Abson, lived. This was also where Abson was allegedly seen by his brother and a woman on the morning of September 2nd at around 7:50, cleaning the floor of the GMC and washing clothes in the sink. I stated earlier, they said there was no blood or DNA found in the vehicle. There was no blood found in the sink. So where did the story come from that there was blood that was being washed out of clothes and that there was blood on the floor of the car? We know then that a $50,000 reward was offered by the family for her safe return. What do we know about Cleota Pookie Aspen, a 38-year-old black man? 2001, at age 17, Aspen was convicted of abducting and kidnapping the prominent Memphis defense attorney, Kemper Bartlett Duran, at gunpoint and putting him in a trunk of his Mercedes and then forcing him to withdraw cash from an ATM. Attorney Kemper Duran was partners in a law firm, and that law firm is Lewis Thomason, a law firm where Richard Lester's uncle, Mike Kinney, worked. And I understand he still works there today. Cleota Aspen received 24-year sentence, but spent only 20 years in prison for the kidnapping and was released at age 36. We understand that Cleota was released from prison November 20th. That's literally 2 years ago. Aspen's juvenile records included theft, aggravated assault with a weapon, and rape. The TBI performed a DNA test on the Champion slide, according to the Memphis Police Department, and found at the scene and that they belonged to Cleota Aspen based on the DNA test from previous crimes in the CODIS database. According to the arrest affidavit, around 7:50 a.m. September 2nd, Cleota Aspen was observed by a female and his brother washing clothes in a sink and the floor of the GMC Terrain at the brother's house on Orleans. Now, this has been disputed by other family members. So, again, they're stating there was no blood in the clothes. There was no blood or DNA found on the GMC Terrain. On September 3rd, in the 5700 block of Waterstone Oak Way, a GMC Terrain license plate, B as in boy, D as in dog, X as in X-ray, 7952, with the taillight damage, was observed by the U.S. Marshals. They also found Cleota Aspen at that address. Aspen attempted to flee, according to the Marshals, but was apprehended. At the address, the utilities and the GMC Terrain showed that they're in the name of a person whose last name is Brown, and I won't call her full name. The owner of Majesty Cleaning Services verified that Aspen was employed there and that he drove a GMC Terrain. Police determined Aspen's cell phone was near the area where Fletcher was forced into the terrain at the time of the abduction. Aspen was arrested and charged with especially aggravated kidnapping and tampering with evidence in Eliza Fletcher's disappearance. After that point, Eliza Fletcher was found and murder charges and other charges were added. That's it. That's what we know about Cleota Aspen and Eliza Fletcher. So there's a lot going on, but in my opinion, the clues came together too fast. I've never seen anything like this where things just were like one, two, three, like dominoes. I've never seen that happen. And I just question if somebody who has a reason to frame someone is not feeding information to the police. Okay, Regis, there's some noise in your background.
I hear
something.
Refrigerator, about all. You can hear that?
I can hear that very, very well. And so, y'all, there's many, many questions. There's many, many questions I have tonight about this. How long has Eliza Fletcher been running at 4 a.m.? And was Ms. Fletcher not aware of the crime statistics in Memphis, Tennessee? I'm not victim blaming because I don't believe in that. But why was Eliza Fletcher jogging in a deadly city like Memphis, Tennessee at 4 a.m.? Again, not victim blaming, but trying to understand, has the Memphis Police Department made it known that 99 other people have been kidnapped in Memphis in 2022 alone? Had that been made known before Ms. Fletcher was killed? Okay. The family is saying they're trying to call in, but they're being told they can't call the number. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's try 515-605-9321. Okay, let's see why that. And y'all,
yes, I had someone else say that they were being charged to call.
Okay, if you have T-Mobile, it will do that. That's your cell phone provider. But anybody besides T-Mobile, it should not be a problem to call in. But 515-605-9321 is the number to call. And if somebody would give me their number, I can call you on my line. Yep, I want to let them. She said, yep, I want to let them or call me. I'm going to call one of the family members of Cleosa Aspen tonight, and we're going to let them tell us what we're not hearing in the news, the part that we're not hearing. But I'm very, very shocked that people are not able to call in at 515-605-9321. If you would inbox me your phone number, I will call you all one by one and let you speak, because tonight we won't be defeated. So that's very interesting that people are having trouble getting into the phone line. And I'm going to try calling the person who gave me the information about Cleosa earlier, and we're going to see if she can give us more information about this. I've also been promised an interview by the family late this afternoon, and I look forward to speaking with them off air about this case. But I am about to call one of the family members and hear from them firsthand the things that we're not hearing from the news. Because anybody who knows a case like this, they're not going to tell you everything in the news, you know, when it first happened. And a lot of times they'll give you misinformation to see what will surface later. So you absolutely cannot expect to hear 100% of information pertaining to a case this big in 72 hours. And I think that's the mistake that most people are having, is they're absolutely believing this case has been wrapped up and there's nothing else to tell because the news has told us everything or the police department has told us everything, and that just doesn't happen. So tonight, I'm going to ask you, if you're calling in and you're having trouble, inbox me on Facebook and let me know so that I can call out what's going on. Because Memphis Police Department, if you're scrambling my phone line, shame on you. Because if you got your man, then everything is okie-dokie, right? But there should not be a reason to scramble my phone line to prevent, let me see here. I'm going to figure out how to dial these numbers, but there's a lot going on. And so I'm going to say to anybody who has information, we'd love to hear it tonight. If you got a question or a comment, we'd like to hear it tonight. We absolutely like to know who has clues or who believes they have clues about what's going on in this case. Okay, I'm going to try to dial this number, and I'm not going to call her number out. I'm going to try to dial this number and see if we can get a family member on the phone. Okay, we're going to try this and hopefully have success tonight. We're going to try this. Okay. Is that your clicking? I hear it, Gretchen.
Yeah, I'm trying to text back to Dorothy Patterson to give her your number so you can call.
We're going to try to reach. Okay, we're going to try to reach this person.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, host of Center Stage and Let's Talk Fort Worth. Who am I speaking to?
I'm going to go by this, say Jerry.
Okay, Jerry, how are you this evening?
I'm all right under the circumstances, what's going on. I'm kind of throwing it all off. But This case so here is very strange.
Are you a family member?
Yes, a very, very, very close. And I am a family member. I'm talking about very close to the who you're talking about.
Okay, so do you believe that Cleotha Afton is being framed?
Absolutely. And that's with me being showing respect to the Fletcher family. I think they're using his past. Don't none of it make sense. You see what I'm saying? The husband, first of all, if my wife allegedly don't come back on time, I'm going to think she probably went and ran some more errands or did some more things. You automatically call your friend and your friend go looking for and find a phone way in another community, way from their house. And he gonna assume this man's phone and her and bring it to you. You see what I'm saying? You know the police. Now, we do know in Memphis, most of us, if somebody missing our family, we call the police, they gonna tell us off top. Ain't nothing we can do if they been missing 24 hours.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? If they had a bed, and then you say something, him washing his clothes in a sink, they would have took the whole sink as evidence and traced with blood. He washed his truck. It's not nothing that he don't do on the regular, clean the inside of his truck.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? But once you run that blue light through that with the forensic, it's going to tell you if you covered up blood. Let's just be real. You never saying that you found no blood in the truck. You just charged him with tampering, saying he cleaned his truck. You feel where I'm coming from?
Okay, I do. Yeah. So do they have the truck right now? Where's the truck?
Yeah, they have the truck. But they never said there was blood in the truck. Never said there was blood in the sink where he's supposed to wash his clothes. We ain't heard none of that.
Okay, so they never took the sink?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did they even
exist? It's going to be funny. I don't know. They got a report saying he's supposed to be washing some clothes in the sink. They ain't say nobody saying they're washing no blood or nothing, though. Have you seen that in the words?
I think somebody
you
said.
You got no.
Okay. Okay.
No DNA evidence linked to in his truck from what I'm hearing.
There was no DNA evidence.
No, it's just saying that it's evidence that he cleaned the truck out and tried to clean the temple with evidence is the charge. It's never saying that when you ran this light through there, you found traces of blood. We know you can't cover up or clean blood. If you clean and scrub blood, it's still going to show, right?
Right.
Okay, let's talk about this some.
Okay.
If they find your sample, who DNA going to be on it?
If you find what?
If we find your sample or slipper, who DNA going to be on it?
Mine.
Did they say her DNA was on this sample? Y'all saying this allegedly him? Is it saying both DNAs on there? You ain't saying that.
I thought they said his DNA was on there.
Yeah, and they're saying the sounder's supposed to belong to him. They're not saying Liza's DNA on the sounder. If they find your sounder, it's going to be your DNA found on your old sounder you threw away.
Right.
Right or wrong?
Right.
Well, they said
okay.
DNA was found on the phone.
Who DNA found on the phone?
No one
they said
DNA
that Cleopatra's DNA was on the cell phone, not on the shoes.
You ain't got no report that.
It's not on the shoe. Oh, no, it's not on the shoe.
That's all I heard.
Yeah.
On the shoe. And you said it's supposed to belong to him. We know DNA is supposed to be on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it went back the same day when the store of her broke and supposed to confiscate the items out of her home. The kidnapper never been in her home. What's up with those evidence? What's up with what was taken out of her house? The laptop, garden shears, things of that nature, which makes me want to say How was she injured? What was she killed with? You feel what I'm saying? We ain't got to this part yet. This ain't out yet. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Why would they go to a house and send that for no spend in a house?
That's true.
And pulling her husband's truck after you. They pulled her husband's truck and confiscated their laptops and stuff.
Really? So, okay. So tell me this. Okay. The slides. Let's go back to the slides. They allege that the slides were found at close to where her cell phone and water bottle, you know, was located. Are you saying that the slides may have not been found there, that they may have been found somewhere else?
That question, I don't know. I'm just speaking on a lot of that shows different. It's other stuff that's in this case. You feel what I'm saying? And they covering it up. It looks real fishy. I want to be respectable to her family and everything else too, but it's just fishy to me. We ready to get to the evidence.
I agree.
Now,
so let me ask you this.
Hold up. If there was so much of a struggle and all this, what y'all saying, Cleota Dane report had no marks or anything on him. We ain't heard nothing about no marks on him or anything. He didn't look like no marks on him in court today. That's
something that was brought up about the fact that he had no marks on him.
Oh, okay. So
y'all
saw it in court today.
We all watched it. It was online.
Okay. Right.
Another thing that was they said they identified the slides to be him from when they were surveillancing him the day before.
Right.
Why was surveillance even to him the day before?
You know, now that's an excellent question, because the day before they said he was at the Malco Theater on Germantown Parkway. And y'all not familiar with Germantown Parkway. That's a whole ways across town from where this location was. So, you know, this is crazy, the location in terms of where they got all this camera footage at. What made them go to the Malco Theater and look for video footage on him is a question. I'm not clear as to what led the police to go to look for surveillance video footage for the Malco Theater.
I guess his cell phone was pinging all over town that they tracked him all the way from start to finish.
Well, they wouldn't have to look that far, if you ask me, for this body. If they picked his cell phone up at the time of her abduction, it's going to show the whole route of their cell phone, if I'm not mistaken. Because I watched the show too, right? I'd have seen them follow the whole route once they lock on the phone from a tower.
Okay.
There's a lot of eyebrow-raising things in this case. And then by saying that his uncle is linked to the lawyer from the past case, I'm pretty sure they knew that he had been released. He could have been the perfect scapegoat. We could have set him up with it. I know a guy that did this to such and such work with me. Come on.
I agree.
Well, that's something we've all said on that one.
I agree. You could absolutely have decided that he was out of jail so before.
I know the perfect scapegoat.
Wow. That's true. Now, that's very much true. Because you know, if someone had been plotting a murder of her, let's just say, and they allegedly was looking for a scapegoat, then knowing that he was out of jail may provide them with that perfect scapegoat.
And it's a lot of money involved. Nobody in Memphis knew this lady was worth no money like that, or who she is. This makes no sense to randomly grab somebody, you get nothing out of her, and killing them. I just don't see that. Just like I don't see myself getting up, calling my friend and say, go look for my wife.
Now, that is strange. I found that strange as well that he would call the friend and tell the friend to go and look for her if, you know, see, I mean, the thing is, I was looking at the timeline earlier. If she left the house at 4 o'clock, if you already start calling friends at 6 o'clock because at 6:45 your friend said he had already found the slippers and the water bottle and the cell phone, so what time did you start calling your friend?
And was that alone? Let's go back to what I was saying about, I would thought, okay, my wife probably went and did something else. I mean, within 2 hours, you already assuming, and then if the friend did find the phone and slip or somewhere else, you going to pick it up and don't call the police, you tamper with evidence to take it way back to the house and give it to her husband.
Right. And the fact that the slippers and the cell phone and the water bottle were found at a house or in front of a house that was owned by the University of Memphis, how did he assume that all of that was connected? How did he assume that the slides had anything to do with the abduction? I probably should put that together.
Or if the phone was broke, how do you know that was her cell phone?
Thank you.
And I have another question too. Now this is just me, and I'm playing devil's advocate because I can do that tonight. If I were going to kidnap somebody, just think of this, and that person was a jogger. If I had premeditated this, I would not be trying to kidnap them in sliders. I would definitely have my running shoes on because I knew they were a runner. Now, that's just me talking off the top of my head. But that's how I would see that. I would not go after an athlete who was a runner and try to catch them at 4 a.m. in the morning when they were already in jogging mode with slides on. That's just my thought. That doesn't seem logical. And it may, you know, they say it happened, but I just find that strange.
Yeah, so if I'm chasing her, I'm gonna pass out after 100 yards.
Yeah, and it seems to me very odd if she was on the top of her game, and they say she had basically trained for the Boston Marathon. If that is the case, then this young woman was very fit. And so if she was paying attention to her surroundings that morning, not that I would hope everybody would be at 4 a.m., that why would she then, not see him coming and try to run out of his path? And again, if he had flies on, how would he be able to catch up with her? I'm just asking. Did that cross your mind, Jerry?
Well, one of the things that I found out today is that her jogging pants, they found her jogging pants in her top off of her, you know, when they found the body, she was not wearing her clothing. So that's you know, they were not at the same place. So, I mean, was that the intent to strip her naked and then kill the body and throw it off somewhere? I mean, they found too many things of hers in sequence, one after the other. You know,
I thought originally they said the clothes were found in a dumpster behind McDonald's.
Well, you know, as they say, we've all heard something different. I know what I heard today is that they found her clothing away from the body. And that's basically all I could go on is that, you know, she was not wearing her same clothing when they found her. So that by itself is strange in a lot of other ways.
Jerry, do you want to talk about that?
I don't know nothing about what they putting out here, but I'm following what he's saying. They saying they found her clothes on the street over from where they found the body. But I did see the report that they had said like a day before they spoke found it in a dumpster at McDonald's off a tip.
Right, right.
So, like I was saying, you know, it just sounds a lot fishy to us. You see what I'm saying? We is they family. We have been talking to them since they've been down there, certain family members, and they started saying they know nothing about this, period.
Really?
And while we're looking, a lot of stuff looks suspicious. It just don't sound like what that does. No, because all us know him, Kyoto, who been working on jobs since he been out. See, they allegedly bring up the Marco deal because he was at work there. He been working since he been out. You see what I'm saying? And they paint a picture of a mall.
Right. So you're saying they're painting the picture of your brother being a monster when actually since he's been out, he's been working.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're seeing this picture that they're drawing of him in the media, you know, and they're basically, you know how people, you know, are quick to say, you know, they're a thug, they should go back to prison, they should be, you know, hung, they should get life in prison, they should get death, you know, that type of thing. How does that make the family feel when you're reading this and you say that Cleophas is not that person?
We're not saying that he hasn't did something when he was 15, 16 years old. You see what I'm saying? We even saying if he had done this and we could see clear straight out that he done it and we believe that, we would be saying you got to do your time again. You got to face the music. You see what I'm saying? But it's
right.
Just a lot of holes, a lot of bull that don't add up. It's just a lot of stuff that ain't adding up.
And you know
that
what?
That was my issue from the very beginning.
For someone, Eliza Fletcher case discussion is basically saying I'm staging the discussion around Cleo's innocence and questioning the investigation. The lady speaking says, you know, I'm reading this, y'all. If she's so much of an athlete, how come she didn't see him coming? What the hell? Listen, Mandy Lynn, please feel free to call in tonight. I'll take your question. Because what I'm saying, I said before I said that, I'm playing devil's advocate. That's what I said. Now, I am not staging anything for the family. I'm very glad that the family did decide to come on because I think this discussion and this case needs balance. And I think in all fairness, anybody is pretty much should be considered innocent until proven guilty, even in America. And so I beg to differ with you that I'm staging anything. I have given out this phone number since early this morning and told anybody who wanted to call in that they could. So let's be clear, this show never does that. If you want to call in, the number is 515-605-9321, and all you need to do is press 1 once you're connected. And I'll be glad to take your call, Mandy Lynn. So please do not say that I am stacking anything. I am not. If you have a question and you're on this phone line and this phone line is jammed right now, if you have a question, press 1, and I'll be glad to come to you. But right now, Mr. Jerry is talking, and I was listening. And so if anybody has a problem with me asking questions or playing devil's advocate tonight, I don't know what to tell you. But this case absolutely needs balance. We should not be hanging a person before we figure out if this person actually did it. That's what they call a jury and a judge in for. And none of us are judge or jury in this case, in my opinion. Now, if we decide that we're going to be the court of public opinion and we're ready to hang a person just because they've been on the news and in the newspaper and that was things were said about them, what kind of people are we becoming in this country? Now, I'm just speaking facts. Come on, y'all. We don't want to be that country. We don't want to be the country where just because someone says you're guilty of something, you automatically decide to hang the person. Do we really want to do that? Because just as sure as that could happen to this person, it could happen to you. Now, do I know whether or not Cleophas Aspen did this? No, I do not. But do I think that this case absolutely deserves to be aired out with all the facts put on the table, and not just a few. If I am fair, I need to make the connection between Kemper Bartlett Duran and Eliza Fletcher. How in the world did these two people know each other? How in the world is Kemper Duran, someone who formerly worked in the office with Mike Kenney, the uncle of Richard Fletcher, and some kind of way Richard Fletcher's wife ends up kidnapped and allegedly murdered by the same person that kidnapped Kemper Duran? Now, if anybody has two cents in their head, they should realize that connection is significant. There is no such thing as this is a random act of a stranger when you got this kind of connection. When you got the situation in which this girl was an heiress to a billionaire, that's significant. So when you say this is random, whoever did this, this was not random. So to be clear, if you come for me, know that I'm going to come back. That simple. And I'm through with that rant, but don't come for me on social media and ever accuse me of being somebody who's stacking the cards for anybody. I just talked to this family for the first time today and asked them to come on the show just like I did it. Everybody else is in that Eliza Fletcher case discussion group. So I don't know any of you all from a can of paint, and I'm not stacking any discussion.
Well, so, in today's world, two things that are constant that we always know. One, if you're not speaking for the masses, then they're going to try to shoo you out as being a troublemaker. Second thing, if any person ever done anything wrong in their life, they are forever branded a criminal. It wouldn't have mattered if Cleofa went to jail for food stamp fraud. All they're going to get is convicted felon, criminal, bam. There you go. That's the problem we're dealing with. And him being black and her being white definitely does not help his situation at all.
You know what? I'm going to say one more thing to this Eliza Fletcher case discussion group. You know what? If you guys are racist people or people who just automatically think a black person who's accused of a crime is automatically guilty, shame on you. I think absolutely this is not the way this country should be run, in which we have people who are so quick to want to hang a person when you haven't even taken a full 7 days to look at all the facts. You guys have read some newspaper articles and seen some footage on the news, and you all have decided that this is absolutely a close shut case. That makes no sense to me. I have enough investigative and analytical skills to say, you know what, if it sounds too good to be true, then that makes me go back and question everything. Now, do I know if Cleotha Aston did this? No, I don't. But I do feel like he deserves for me to be analytical in thinking and seeing how do all of these dots connect so quickly. Period. I mean, and I don't know who is a fair thinker or a Christian or somebody who at least has any ounce of compassion for another person. We don't want to just get anybody because a lady ended up dead and kidnapped. We don't want to do that, do we? We do want to get the right person. We do want to make sure that when we send somebody to prison or whatever the case may be, whoever found guilty of this, we do want to make sure we got the right person, don't we? I mean, that's it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for words that in this country we want to absolutely, you know, get like a popcorn, microwave, quick fix on who killed Eliza Fletcher. So whoever has to be blamed for that, long as we have somebody that we can blame for it and put in jail for the rest of their lives, then we're happy. I think that type of thinking scares me. I do. I think it absolutely scares me because that just tells me that you could absolutely be in the wrong place at the right time and end up being behind bars for life just because you had the wrong type past, the wrong type parents moved on the wrong side of the track. Pick a reason. And I don't think we want to do that. I'm just saying, y'all, we don't want to be that kind of country. That sounds like Russia. I mean, that absolutely sounds like Russia. Now, if you're on the phone line and you have a question or a comment, and your woman or man or not to ask me, press 1. I'll be glad to come to you, and then you can say what you feel. But if you're not man or woman enough to say something, don't bash me on social media, but you're too scared to press 1. I mean, come on, y'all. I'm just amazed, and y'all, I typically don't get this emotional in shows because I'm just a narrator. And I normally just direct the traffic on the show. But when you draw me into it and make accusations that I'm being biased, that's not fair. And my reputation means more to me than that. And I've never been accused of stacking a show. I've always shown back. That's something that I will always do. Now, if y'all have a problem with a family member of Cleotha coming on and talking, shame on y'all, because y'all don't want to know the balance, the other side. We know what the news has told us. You don't want to know what the family is saying? Really? I want to know. I want to know what the family thinks. I want to know what the family feels about what's going on. I want to know if the family says everything that's being said about Cleotis is true. I want to know what they see. If you went on a few minutes ago, Mr. Jerry said there was no blood in the sink, as reported on the news. Mr. Jerry just stated there was no blood or DNA in the GMC terrain. So,
I bet not one news report has come even to talk to the family.
Wow.
I'm willing to bet that.
Has any reporters reached out to you, Mr. Jerry?
Yeah, they reached out to a family member. We just ain't talking because of what everything you just said, what we've been having to say. We just asking for the evidence. And it looked like people are mad at him off top and talking about he need to be fried. He need to be in front of fire squad. But it's not only the family, it's a lot of us poking holes. What I just did was poke holes in some of the stuff that was said and put out there. And it's a lot of people in America asking these same questions. Do you think everybody believe what they just seen on this news? It's a lot of us got reasonable doubt right now. Now, reasonable doubt is supposed to be the man supposed to be set free. But you're going to have a lot of men, they just grab and just get the case over with. Because y'all never let the public say, hold up, ask these questions. Hold up, how that happen? That don't sound right. Mm-hmm. Because we asking questions, poking holes in the case as the public, I thought they judged by their peers in the public. A lot of poking holes and we asking questions like, how was this? Well, how was this? And we said, it don't make sense though. Y'all mad at us for that.
Mm-hmm. To me, it makes no sense. You all have taken everything that was said in the media to be 100% fact. Don't want to know anything that the family thinks. You have already predetermined that Mr. Epstein did it. And so, therefore, throw him right in prison and don't let him see the light of day anymore. That's scary. And so, I'm sorry.
I want to clarify one more thing. We not saying anything. Show the evidence. Show the evidence. Mm-hmm. And I told you, if he done it, his own family going to tell him, well, you gone again. You don't messed up. You see what I'm saying? We said show us the evidence. We want to make sure that this is concrete. We want to make sure that y'all is looking at everything because some of this stuff don't make sense to a lot of people now. Mm-hmm. Is all these people going to be silenced by saying they got questions about what y'all releasing in y'all media and their media?
Okay, well, let's go to the phone lines. Let's listen to what some of the people have to say. We're going to go to 901 610. I'm only going to mention the first three numbers of your cell phone. 901-60-610. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk. I mean, you're on Center Stage. That would be you, 901-610. Good
That's
evening.
That's me.
Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So
okay.
I understand everything y'all are saying, and from my point of view, I don't pay attention to media. I don't read what media says, but I guarantee you, with all the agencies that are involved and all the knowledge that these agencies have and experience that they have, they didn't just pick one individual out of the public and say, this is the guy. I guarantee it. I mean, these guys have a lot of degrees. They have a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of technology out there that criminals just don't know about. And when they commit crimes, I mean, when you drive down the street, they can put a tag number in the system, and they can see you go through any intersection at any time and spot you, where nobody realizes they can do that. So, I mean, the evidence is there. I understand he wants to see it in concrete. Well, I mean, when the trial happens, I'm sure they're going to have the concrete evidence. You know, I'm not here to listen to all this gossip and bullshit. Is somebody in the family, you know, involved? I think there's more involved than just him. That's my honest opinion. I mean, I think there's more people involved.
I just don't think
he went out in his flip-flops and said he's just going to go grab somebody. I think there's more involved in it than just him. So, there's going to be concrete evidence, you know, whether he did it or not. Yeah, we can probably 99% assume he did it. But, yeah, and once the trial and all the evidence is presented – and he's found guilty, you know, that's that on that. But I'm not a fan of, you know, I'm not a fan of incarcerating nobody for life and wasting tax dollars. I'm not a fan of somebody that brutally hurts somebody and euthanizing them. I think that's, you know, they hung Saddam Hussein on national TV. Why can't they do that for any of these suspects that are pedophiles, that are abusive to women? I mean, there should be some hard, court. Look, I served in Afghanistan and Iraq. We've dealt with a lot of intense stuff. These criminals need to be, if they're guilty, they need to be punished a lot harder than they are. That's why our criminals keep committing crimes, because they know ain't nothing going to happen to them, or they're going to get released right back on the street, and we're back to step one. So that's why our country's more violent than other countries, because other countries hold them to higher standards and punish them a lot harder. That's where I'm at, but that's all I got to say.
Okay, Carla, can I ask you a question? Is it a possibility that the young man was framed?
Negative.
Okay, so you don't think
with
all that technology that you just talked about that being out of prison and having been accused and convicted of kidnapping Kemper Duran, that someone could have said, he would make a good suspect if we decided to do the same thing to Eliza Fletcher.
Negative. That's not even that law enforcement, they're not going to spend that much time and hours and effort to put some random person that has a past kidnapping charge back in jail without having evidence in court. And I'm talking about hard evidence. And I promise you, when the U.S. Marshals and FBI come involved,
well,
I guarantee
you
there's hard evidence on that table. I promise you they're not stepping in without hard evidence.
Question. Could it also be possible that the that Ms. Fletcher's family could be involved in getting her bumped off and using ex-felon that was involved in it? You think that could have happened too?
Could they have reached out to him to maybe initiate this?
Yes, like, okay, how did he just manage to find her strolling down the street like Little Red Riding Hood? I just want to make sure we're on some type of wavelength, because, well, once again, let's just say Cleotha Abson is guilty. I just find it hard to believe he's the only one that was involved. I mean,
I agree.
There's more than one party involved,
I can tell you. There's more than one party involved. It's common sense. Common sense tells you when you have that guilty conscience in your head and you know he did it, all right, he's good, he's guilty, whatever. But he wasn't just driving down Central Avenue for 20 minutes knowing her route and her path and going to just sit there and just, he ain't been scoping her out for some time. Somebody said, this is where she runs. This is the route she takes. Stand by, wait on her. She'll be there about this time. And
okay,
he did.
We good,
he passed her. He passed her to verify she's running down that street. He probably ran around, made another lap, and parked and staged where you're sitting there maybe, you know, 5-10 minutes and grabbed her. But, you know, he ain't the only one involved. There's more than one party involved. I can guarantee it. I think they're waiting. This is what's happening. I think they're waiting on the husband because he's a drug dealer. And this is just an assumption. This is an honest assumption. I think there's drugs involved. I think there's drugs involved, and then I think he had a major drug issue and is just trying to, you know,
definitely money involved because they got plenty of money.
Well, I think she apparently I heard she was leaving him. But anyways, long story short, but I think he's involved.
Let him finish with you.
I think within two weeks that husband, they're gonna find something. They're kind of just sitting back right now, seeing how the husband reacts. But I think my feeling is within 2 weeks they're gonna end up grabbing him up. They're gonna grab him or somebody else up.
So is the husband a drug dealer or a drug user or both?
Drug user.
Oh, wow.
Cocaine. Wow. And so, you know, when you get on coke and you spend a lot of money and this and that, you get in debt, you might owe Dope Boy some money, and, you know, who knows? Who knows how that works? But close family said he's a coke user and had some issues, and he just looked sketchy on stage. But, you know, that's all assumptions. But I think he's going to be taken down. They're just sitting back waiting on the right time, and somebody's going to snitch. I mean, it's still early. They have to go after the prime suspect. Now they're going to sit back, focus on the investigation, and wait for the secondary. So if you listen to the interview, the chief of police or the district attorney said that it was an act of, you know, just an act of meanness and just random is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other question to the chief of police was, are there any other parties? Well, she said, this is an ongoing investigation. You know, we can't say whether there's any other parties, you know, just basically stand by. So she made it seem like there might be other parties where the DA strictly came out and said that it was just a, you know, an act of meanness just out of nowhere. It was just random, which doesn't make sense to anybody. It's random.
I agree.
Okay,
I mean,
I will.
Let me ask one question of you, caller, and then anybody else. If you have a question or a comment, you're on the phone line tonight, just press 1. I'll be glad to come to you and take your question or comment as well. Y'all, the thing is this, if Mr. Jerry is right that there's no DNA of hers in the car, but they tell you that they saw a struggle, and they said that the car sat still in the parking lot for 4 minutes, there's no defense wounds on Mr. Cleosa.
Absolutely.
They said there's no blood in the sink, and we know blood would have been found in the sink. Does that not put some, like, question marks in your hands that maybe we need to pause here, like, pump the brakes just a little and say there's something else going on? I mean, either maybe he was framed, you know, or worst case, maybe he was, like, involved. But I can't just say that I would believe that he was guilty of this and nobody else is connected. I just question that. I just question I'm sorry.
So the brother supposedly, according to the media, the brother supposedly, you know, stated that he was washing his clothes in the sink, this and that. But then apparently they arrested him on drug charges for fentanyl, heroin, and possession of a firearm, and then it wasn't within 12 hours from his arrest that they knew where the body was. So I don't know if it seems like they negotiated something with the brother, said, hey, look, we'll let you off these drug charges if you let us know where the body is, because they searched all damn day Saturday. All day Saturday they looked, all Friday, and then Sunday, it was like all of a sudden after that drug charge arrest, bam, they knew where the body was. They were right there on that sucker the next day.
Now, you really believe they had cadaver dogs in that same field on Sunday and officers, and they didn't find anything. And on Monday, the same field is searched with cadaver dogs, and then they find a body just laying in the field. Do you really believe that?
But I don't know. I don't have any facts that they were in that same field on Sunday.
The lady was doing a live video showing that the police were over there the day before. She was saying Sunday the police were over in the exact same area. There's a video. The lady wasn't connected at all.
I thought they were down at Martin Luther King Park.
No. Allegedly, the body was found in a behind a duplex.
Off Lauderdale, yep, off Lauderdale Person over off of Vincent, right?
Okay, yeah, that's Vincent. Is it Vincent or Victor?
Victor.
Victor.
Okay.
Can I elaborate on something with the caller, though?
Yes, sir, Mr.
All I'm saying is, and the family saying, is the same thing you just pointed out and said. You see what I'm saying? It's more fishy stuff to this story. And for them to be crucifying him all over TV instead of everybody saying, hold up, we need to. America got questions. You even got questions. You see what I'm saying? You just called in with the same thing showing that you have questions surrounding this case and stuff not adding up to you. And you're saying somebody close to her may be involved and you guarantee probably 7 days the husband. I mean, I'm just saying. All of us in America, half of America got questions saying, hold up. And we not being allowed to ask these questions and tell them, hold up, show us this stuff y'all talking about. Show us. We have to wait through this trial instead of them crucifying him. You see what I'm saying? If you had a family member do with his case, you'll be saying the same thing you saying now about your family member. It's some fishy stuff. If my family member did, it looked like somebody else involved in this. This is bigger than this is something bigger than what we're looking at and what we're being told.
We want to see the video of the struggle. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we see a still video of the car. Right. We see a still video of a car. But we can't tell if that's even a GMC Terrain. So,
and you know what? Look, I guarantee you they got a clear shot of that car, but they didn't want to put a clear shot out on the social media for to keep him from running or keep that suspect from fleeing. I guarantee you they got a clear shot. They just didn't want to give a clear shot to the public.
They already had him.
Great. He was in jail.
He can't run anywhere.
Oh, I can't run nowhere now, but yeah, they just like you said, this under investigation. They keep saying it's under investigation. They're not going to release any other documents, and so that you know, we won't see any hard anything until it's trial.
And that's what we say. Until trial, all these folks that's going straight against us, the ouster. What about the people saying? Hey, it's some funny stuff and some holes in this case that don't look right. Let's call it spade a spade. That's what we're saying.
I'm telling you, within 2 weeks.
Okay, so why are some of the public talking about he need to be in fire squad? He need to be killed. He shouldn't have never been let back out. Why ain't they saying we need to sit back and look? We need to wait on the evidence.
All right, so if he did it, all right, well, I guess if he's found guilty.
If he did it, he need to face the time. He got to face his time if he did it.
Well,
nobody didn't tell him that.
Look, my honest opinion, I ain't racist. I'm white. I ain't got nothing against blacks. I ain't got nothing against whites, Mexicans. But I tell you this, if you screw with one of my kids, a girl, I don't care if it's a neighbor. You mess with a child, a rape, pedophile, just abuse a woman, Your ass should be, brutally punished.
I'm not painting that picture of you. I'm just saying it seemed like when you called in, you got questions and reasonable doubt too. You see what I'm saying? You saying it's a mo to this story too. And it seemed like what you said. You see what I'm saying? I'm just pointing out that this is strange. This case kind of strange.
There's
a lot of questions. And people is asking these questions like, hold up now. I know what y'all told us, but this don't look like that.
And how did all the clues come together so fast? How did everything just get laid out like a set of dominoes so quickly? I mean, never in the case of a case in Memphis have I seen stuff come together this fast since the first 48. And we know that didn't necessarily happen in the first 48. That was TV. So how did everything, including the kidnapping, you know, the video, you know, the sliders, the phone, you know, the body, everything just come together so quickly? That just seems suspect to me. But, you know, in the end of the day, if you got a question or a comment and you are not already on the phone line, the number is 515-605-9321, then press 1. If you're already on the phone line, and there's quite a few of you, if you have a question, the family is here. We want to hear your question. We want to hear your comment. But don't be like keyboard gangsters on the keyboards, but hiding behind the keyboard, making all kind of snide comments, but you won't say what you have to say on the platform, but you're on the phone. I don't get it. But I just feel like everybody deserves a fair trial. I don't care what someone is accused of, what someone's found guilty of. They deserve a fair trial. And as of right now, he has not been found guilty of anything. He's been accused and he's been charged. He hasn't even been indicted. And we're already saying, pull out the firing squad. That's not the right energy to be sending toward anybody, because karma is something else. And I think unless you want these things to happen to you, you should not wish them on anybody else. And I'm not taking up for Cleo because I don't know him. He doesn't know me. I don't know the family. But I think the family had every right to come out and say how they felt about these charges, how they felt about how everything went down. And I'm going to share something with you that a family member shared with me, and maybe this will put everything in context. They said on September the 2nd at 11 a.m., Cleophas Abstin had his mother in the same car that they said these crimes took place at. Now, who does that? Am I right, Mr. Jerry? Did that take place?
Yeah, she was with him. He took on a few errands to pay bills and stuff. I mean, it would have been stench in the trunk. You see what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's not making sense. It's not making sense, too.
Well, I just think if someone had kidnapped someone earlier that morning and then possibly murdered them that morning, how could they then later pick up their mother in the same morning and take her to run errands in the same car, that same SUV that all this allegedly took place? That would be strange. I mean, to say the least, that would be strange. But according to Mr. Jerry, that's exactly what happened. Correct, Mr. Jerry?
Yeah. And then folks went home. I mean, most people, when they done something, they ain't staying in the house just in case possibility somebody come there looking for them. I'm just saying, a lot of stuff don't make sense. And me and the family, we just sitting back and waiting to see what they finna show, what kind of evidence.
I agree. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to 870-514. Good evening. You're on letter. You're on the phone. 870-514. 870-514. Good evening,
you're
Senator.
Yeah. I'm here.
Hi. Okay.
I feel like obviously I truly believe he did it. But I think the guy's got something messed up in his head where he gets off on preying on people because he done did it once, now he's done it again, and then he's been convicted of another sexual assault in, what, 1999? He's had prior charges way before this. The dude just ain't right in the head. That's all it is to it. The dude did it. Like, you talk about calling for the firing squad already. Yeah, like, people like him shouldn't even have a chance on a jury because he's a sick individual.
And so you based all that on what you've read so far?
Do what?
You based all that on what you've read so far, and you are certain that if you were sitting on the jury today, you would find him guilty?
Yeah, I would find him guilty. Because of all the other stuff he's done.
Like, and you ain't seen
it. It's not a coincidence in that area. His slides were left right there where she got abducted. It's not a coincidence.
Okay.
Now if somebody else hired him, like, I don't know about that. Somebody could have hired him. It could be more to it. But I know... I would bet everything that he's the one that did it. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Well, you should.
Everybody.
Oh, okay. How many times have we seen this scenario where someone was kidnapped, something happened, and the first person they blame? I remember a couple times when this woman blamed that a black man carjacked her car and killed her kids. Then come to find out she was the one that did it. So do we always have to jump to the conclusion immediately? Say it again, sir.
First of all, it doesn't matter if it's a black man, white man, but how many people have been accused of something and have a past record that he has and their sandals be left there at the crime scene and everything else?
Okay, I'm not even talking about the racial component. I'm just talking about period. A person being accused of anything.
It's not about being accused of something.
At the end of the day, we should look first and wait.
His past record, his slide was found at the crime scene. His phone record showed that he was in the area. It's all the evidence leading up to it, 10 million things he's done in the past with this same kind of, involves all around the same type of stuff.
He's already guilty. So you're saying he's already guilty?
Yeah, he's already guilty, but luckily we live in America and you get a trial.
That doesn't always guarantee purity. That I will say that it doesn't always guarantee everything.
Well, Colin, let me ask you this.
I'm just being objective about it. Everything you're saying could be 100% right, but I'm not ready to just say this thing is all over and done in less than 100 hours. That's basically that's all we're talking about.
I'm just not ready to do that
because I've seen these things happen so many times. I mean, when my grandson died, everybody was ready to say the babysitter killed him. Come to find out a few months later, after the autopsy report, found out the child died from SIDS. And think what would have happened if everybody just went on and just said she killed him and that was it. That's the reason why we have a justice system, that we have to wait on these things before we just start jumping to conclusions.
You're asking my
opinion. And even I had to wait.
I'm not a judge. He has his right to a fair trial. I'm not a judge. You asked my opinion, and I gave it. I believe he's guilty. In my eyes, he's guilty. But luckily, I'm not a judge.
Well, Colin, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. So is it suspicious that the slides were found by the friend of Richard Fletcher and then turned into Richard Fletcher, not the police? So do you find that suspicious at all?
Well, maybe Richard Fletcher's friend was out looking for her. But, I mean, yeah, that might be a coincidence, but his phone records being found near the his phone being near the crime scene, that, I mean, come on now. Hell, his vehicle was shown on video.
No, you saw a still. No, you saw a still picture. You didn't see the video. You saw a still picture, right? But you were told there was a video, right?
I saw a picture.
Right.
Yep.
So just like we heard that there was blood in the sink, but they're saying it wasn't any blood in the sink. What you saw, what was said, and what you saw are two different things. Because you heard that there was a video, but what you saw was a still photo. You see how things can change? You know, they look a certain way, but when you actually dig into it, it may be more to the picture or more to the story. That's all I'm saying.
I never denied that there was more to the story. Y'all asked if I thought he did it or if I think he's guilty. Yes, I believe he's guilty.
Do you think the family
decided to call a call and saying you agree that there's more to this story than when you get through with everything you were saying, with all due respect? You decided to call to say you agree
that there might be more to the story. Y'all asked if I thought he did it. Yes, in my eyes, he's guilty. He did it. Is there more to the story? Probably so. Hell, I don't know. But do I think he did it? Yes, I'm 100%, 99% sure he did it. If he didn't do it, the dude did it. If he look at his past record, like everything he did, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out that. Now, if there's more to it, then there probably is more to it. With all the money they got, and they say her husband was on dope and all kinds of shit, there might be more to it. But do I think he actually killed her? Yes, I think he killed her. There's no argument on that if there might be more to the story.
Excuse me. I'm a family member. They bringing up the kidnapping case from when he was 15, 16.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me where they showed you some more background charges where y'all keep saying it's extensive background. He got a list of charges. And this is my family. And I know that the person was his first case. This is the only exact case in his life. So tell me what extensive background is and where it's at. Show me the rest of the charges that he was called kidnapping back in the day and what else. What's he charged with? Come on, give me the rest of some more charges. Give me the list of charges from his past.
I read it, but it was something between the ages. He was between 14 and 18, so they didn't say exact what it was.
That's the same charge. That's the one charge in his background. Come on with it. They saying a extensive list of background. Come on. Give me the rest of the charge that he has been formally charged with back in those days, too. And since he's been out, give me the list of charges. Come on.
Hell, how long has he been out?
Oh, man, you ain't even know how to taste that good, bro.
Well,
do you live with somebody may walk up and say that
man,
you slapped him?
The list of charges since he's been out. He ain't even been out long.
I'm saying they think he got a sense of background. Tell me some more charges besides the prior kidnapping that he has in his background from when he was young or since he's been out in these 2 years. Now, come on, I want a whole list. Y'all keep saying
and know so much about him. Why don't you list his background since you know more about him than I do?
I just told you there is no more. I just told you there is no more, sir. With all due respect, I just told you there is no more.
Okay, y'all, we're going to take another caller. Thank you, 870, for calling in tonight. Listen, if you got a question or a comment, we only got about 20 more minutes in the show. You need to get on the phone lines or press 1 now if you're already on the phone lines. We're going to go to 662-772. Good evening. You're on Center Stage. 662-772.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Am I
here? Yeah, we're listening. Mm-hmm.
So there's more than one camera that is in that area.
Okay.
Y'all keep saying there's still camera. That's all you see on the news. But there is more than one camera in that area.
Okay.
Was he driving that vehicle at 4:30 in the morning?
I don't
Did somebody confirm that he was driving that vehicle at 4:30 in the morning?
Actually, that has not been confirmed. I mean, no one has any video or any audio showing that exactly during that time he was driving.
A still video could have been taken at any time. A still picture could have been taken.
A still video.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they're going to show you on the news. A still video. I know the area that she was abducted in, and they have more cameras than just one camera in that area. Mm-hmm. They have many
cameras. Well, all we see is just one photo, and that one of the video that's real. I mean, one of the vehicle that's very grainy. All we seen is these grainy photos. I want to see the actual abduction in regular time with everything confirmed, you know, the time stamp and everything like that. That would give me at least something to let me know that, hey, they're on to something. Right now,
was
everything
that
is still
on drive normally since he's been out?
Say it again?
Was that a vehicle he drives normally since he's been out?
You can't tell us.
I don't know.
Has he drove that vehicle previously since he's been out?
That has been confirmed. Yeah. Let me address her. The still photo does not show us that was a GMC Terrain. It just shows you an SUV, but you cannot make out the
GMC
model.
Terrain. It could be a Chevy Terrain or Equinox.
It could be a.
It could be a Buck Cherokee.
Has he been known to drive that vehicle prior to him being out?
Okay, I'm gonna answer that question one last time. Yes, it's been confirmed that he drove a GMC Terrain. However, the seal video, as I said before, does not show the make and model of that car. So how can you be certain that the still photo that they're circulating in the media is a GMC Terrain and the same one
you
that he was
You don't think they can zoom
drive.
In on that tag plate? They zoom in on
absolutely.
That tag plate to give me a speeding
absolutely.
Ticket for blowing through a red light. They can get
absolutely.
That tag plate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't.
They can follow the whole course of the vehicle. They can follow where the vehicle traveled by pinging it off the cameras. They can do all that. But we haven't seen that yet.
They stated in the media they
like
didn't get
said, it's
a
100 hours in, and there probably is more evidence to be shown.
Okay, the
absolutely.
Family's trying to address the family's trying to address your question. You said what, Mr. Jerry?
They said it wasn't no tag picked up at that corner. They didn't get no tag number from the steel shot on that corner right there. And then they got plenty of cell phone towers too. So if the phone get pinged in that area, they could have followed the course of that whole phone. All the stops that the truck made that night, they would have knew all the stops. Their body would have been kind of easier to find.
They would only ping the phone if he was making calls on that road, hitting different towers on that road. That's the only way that they would know he was on that road, if he was calling people or texting somebody using his cell phone on that road. That's the only
Look,
way.
Hold up, okay.
That
let me make some clear. Let me make some clear. We're not arguing. What I'm arguing is we got questions around the state. It's more questions. You see what I'm saying? It don't add up. And a lot of people saying it don't add up. And I'm asking, is it true to a lot of people that this stuff don't add up?
I can see that.
Okay.
I can see where maybe it didn't add up.
Thank
but
you, caller.
Did he agree that he was in the area at 4:30 in the morning in that car?
Okay. Thank you, caller.
I'll wait for somebody to answer that.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I done said about three times that call from speculation. No one really knows 100% for sure.
Okay, I gotta get to the caller 903-293. Good evening, you're on center stage. 903-293.
Hello, can you hear me?
Huh? We can.
Okay, I have just some. I understand where you're coming from on the steel shot. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get the flip flops. And, you know, I get that. But my whole issue about it is that I think that he was sloppy. And when I say that is, I mean, they were able to ping him from the time her abduction happened all the way to the location to his brothers. So they're saying that he kidnapped and hurt her at 4:30. And at 5:30, he was in the area of the house where they found the body. And then at 7, he was at the place scrubbing his vehicle and getting all the cleaners supposedly and everything else. And then they found a bag at the 5:30 location that had her clothes in it. Let me ask you a question. The one thing I thought with is, what is the motive? Why would he do it?
That's the question we all like to know.
I'm looking at it both ways. I 100% think he's guilty because I think he was sloppy. But I don't get why. Because she didn't have any money on her. She didn't have any, he didn't try to use any kind of debit card. But was he doing it? Are they saying he did it for a sexual act? Did he enjoy to kidnap people because he had done it in the past? You know, they haven't said anything about why. And so I question that. Do I think anybody else was involved? No. And I mean, and I see your side of it. I see your side of it. Totally, 100%. That's a still photo. I work at a Chevrolet dealership. That vehicle is a Chevrolet or a GMC. I knew it from the day I saw it. But I've been doing it for 30 years.
Okay.
But my question is to y'all is that do you – with his past, I know the uncle said that he, you know, the past other than the 20 years he spent from 15, he was in JDC, in juvenile detention center, 8 times from his 11 to 14 years old. What were those instances for? This is before the first kidnapping. Do you know?
Nothing valid. All as, I mean, it saved my life.
He said nothing
about come on. Because that'll be a sealed ear. That'll be a sealed, you know, something sealed. But I'm just curious to what, if you knew, you know, and I don't know what kind of upbringing he had, if he's had parents. I don't know what, if he's been abused or anything there, you know? So I'm not trying to look at the guilty and the innocent. Do I think he's guilty yet? But do I think that he may be institutionalized? Yes, like where he is a criminal that, you know, will always go back to jail. And I may be wrong. You know, it's just a sad situation for everybody, your family, their family. But in my heart of hearts, I do feel like he is 100% guilty. I just think he was sloppy.
Thank you, Carl.
And that's just my personal. Yes.
Thank you very much. Well, listen, we only got 12 minutes left in the show. You either got to get on the phone line, or if you're on the phone line, you need to press 1 to let your comment or question be heard. The Mr. Jerry's listening. He's a family member. He's nice enough to answer your questions tonight. I think that's really nice. So, listen, again, if you got a question or a comment, the number is 515-605-9321, and then press 1. If you're listening via the Internet, it's at the top of your screen. Okay, we're going back to the phone lines, 901-871. Good evening. You're on Center Stage. 901-871. That would be you. Hello?
Here.
We can hear you.
Here.
We can hear
Hello?
You. Hello?
Hello? Hello. I guess my question would be, is with all the evidence, like them showing the cleaning, them showing her him stalking, every bit of it, why are y'all on the phone doing this? Like, this is like a legal thing. Her family's got to hear this. Y'all are saying this ain't a positive for you. Like, the brother had enough drugs on him that he was like, hey, my brother ain't even acting right. I mean, I got a brother that ain't right. I'm just saying, he ain't never done no shit like that. And he don't mess with that heavy of a drug. The brother had heroin, fentanyl, and all that stuff in his house. and probably flipped on the brother a little bit because he didn't want to go to jail. I'm just saying the system is in place to make sure. But he pinged everywhere. Who gets kidnapped people? He knew he was poor, so who's to say he wouldn't have done it? They asked the women of the place that he lives, and all of them said that he gave off that creep vibe. Women know. Why was he watching?
Why was he watching who?
It says on it, he had been watching her. And then the day before, he robbed another woman from the cash app and the wallet.
Did he rob her or he steal a wallet? Ma'am, it's a difference now. You do know robbery and stealing a wallet is different, right?
You still taking somebody else's stuff. He took from a
woman. That's not robbery now. Robbery and stealing a wallet is different.
But he took from money. So who's to say he didn't have enough to get what he needed and thought maybe she would have some more? Maybe he didn't mean to kill her. Maybe he just meant to take her and said she had money. But by the time she fought him, I mean, it ain't right.
Can I ask you something, Carla?
There's no way to flip-flop down there. I mean, there's just too much. If anything else was included, I get that. But I'm just saying he was there. The brother knew he was there.
What caller, let me ask you, you seem very confident that you know exactly what happened. So if there was a violent struggle before they got in the car and then they got in the car and they were still struggling, why is there no DNA evidence in the car, as Mr. Jerry has said? Why didn't something get picked up on that?
I'm pretty sure they will find it. They're just going to have to take it apart. Nothing. There ain't nothing that can clean it that well. He didn't clean it that long that could take it away.
Oh. So you're certain there can be any evidence?
I really believe they'll check it and find it. And I hate it. I hate it for y'all. And if there's anybody else included, I sure in the whole house that hell they are fully prosecuted to it. But I believe after 20 years in his history, and then the DNA on the flip flops, his team. The vehicle, the brother, I'm just telling you, like, as a family, y'all need to pray for him, and y'all need to pray for that woman's family, because, I mean, something ain't right.
Well, we're praying for all of them.
I would 100% lay my life down on this.
Really?
Absolutely. Not because I've seen too many accidents, but I would say this. If you ask me right now, with what they have released, and this is not even them releasing the full video, because I would, honestly, I don't know that we should see it, because this man has, there's kids involved. I don't know if this should be available to the public. But what I'm telling you is, this is something that if it shows her struggling, as a family, are y'all going to be able to deal with that he did it?
What we're going to have to do is pause for a second. The family dropped off the call. Let me find their number again, and let me get them back on the line. And listen, if you're listening via the Internet, we're going to go over just a little past 9 o'clock. So you have to get on the phone line. That's the 515-605-9321 to hear the show after the 9 o'clock mark. Because after the 9 o'clock mark, you won't be able to hear it via the Internet. You will only be able to hear it if you're on the phone line. And so I'm going to get Mr. Jerry back on the phone because for some reason his call dropped. So we're going to try him again. Because I believe he wants to address me.
Hello.
Mr. Jerry, can you hear me? Can you hear
me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear
you. The caller, you were addressing some questions to Mr. Jerry, and your questions again were what?
With his history, if it is proven that he did this, are y'all going to be able to deal with it, accept it?
Yes, we could deal with it if he did this.
Because, I mean, I realize, I understand wanting to protect your uncle. But I just don't understand, like, are y'all, because to me, he hadn't spoken, but I mean, the brother did kind of, you know, was like, hey.
The brother ain't say he died. His brother ain't say he died.
He had a heroin in his apartment.
Did you hear that, caller? He said the brother did not say he did it. Did you hear that, caller?
I did hear that, but did he not say that he was washing his clothes out in the sink?
His brother said he stopped better. He do this on the regular. He takes shower. He washes tank tops out and his socks and stuff like that. You know, anybody that been in prison a long time, they wash stuff out in the sink. They was, okay, so why was it the sink or nothing took it, or why did they not announce that they found traces of blood in the sink? They searched the same sink.
They found his DNA.
You got it.
There. With her DNA. And then.
Found her DNA where?
Right up in that area.
Where they found her DNA?
None of her family was home came there.
None of her family was.
I'm asking you where. Huh?
Caller? Caller? Okay. Caller
871. I
can't hear
Bill.
Okay, so what
I don't
we're
know saying. If I can hear you fine, but for some reason, he's breaking up really bad.
Okay, so he said, where did they find her DNA at?
They have found her DNA at the. With her water bottle? Where she was. They will find it in that vehicle because he scrubbed that car all day. I watched that video.
Okay, now, caller, are you at all curious as to how the friend located the water bottle, the cell phone, and the slides? Are you concerned at all that she went jogging at 4 o'clock in the morning and by 6:45 a friend had located all those things and turned them over to the husband? Does that sound at all suspect?
Honestly, no, I'm not shocked. I'll tell you why I'm not shocked, Betsy. I have a niece, and it's the only time she gets to work out. She's got two little boys, and she works out every morning. And she gets up by 3:45, and she goes and works out. And sometimes she runs. So, yeah, no, I won't victim blame on that one. It's like her only time.
The question wasn't about her jogging. The question was about the family friend finding those items at 6:45 when she only went jogging at 4 o'clock. Now, I'm going to assume that a jog is going to take at least 30 to 45 minutes. So that would take us almost to the 5 o'clock hour. So why if the jog was going to last about to 5 o'clock, let's just say, at the least, then why was the husband already at 6 o'clock calling family and friends, and by 6:45 the friend had found the item? Does that sound like a tight timeline for you?
I mean, I can tell my husband's routine from the morning to the time he drives to work. I mean, between Life 360 and find my iPhone, I can tell you exactly where one of my family members are and when they're not answering their phone calls.
Okay, gotcha. Well, thank you, caller. Listen, y'all, this is going to be very interesting.
So when your friend go find his phone, he don't call you and say, I found her a water bottle out here and some more items. I'm going to call the police. It looked like a struggle or something that went on. So if he brought these items back to the house to the husband, then the husband called the police. These items you're telling us about got to be tampered with. I mean, you cannot take no items from no scene and take it to her house. You done moved these items. Don't that seem strange, too?
Yeah. They were found on that street.
And he brought them to the house. He took them to her house.
I want to throw the husband over because everybody wants to throw the husband and or the uncle. I can't buy that. But do I believe that man with him having a connection with the lawyer. I think money will do anything if he thought she had any money.
So who has but money on them at 4 o'clock in the morning? But no, let me ask a question. You just made an excellent point. At 4 o'clock in the morning, who has money on them? So it does not stand to reason that it would be smart if it was about money that you would kill her before you got the money. So
now,
either there was
right.
ransom.
It's like she thought. They think
she thought.
Okay. And the thing is that she thought.
Right. So
yeah.
That's hard. So, I mean, first of all, anybody who kidnaps anybody should expect some type of struggle. So she fights back. But why would you kill her if you were doing it for money? And she probably didn't have a credit card or any money on her at 4 o'clock in the morning jogging. So what was the motive for him to?
But her clothes was found right beside her, and I'm hoping there was no sexual acts. Because the
They still ain't saying it's a sexual act.
That's what I'm saying. I'm praying.
That's
about
the only thing we haven't heard.
Yeah, no. I'm praying that there wasn't one, because I did wonder that because of the clothes being beside her, you know, in the garbage tin can, you know, a little bit from her.
Well, what happened to the whole story about the clothes were found in the dumpster behind McDonald's? What happened to that?
It was a little bit from her, threw it away as they walk away from the scene.
The scene wasn't at McDonald's, was it?
It wasn't that far from it, not if you know the area.
Oh, so
there's
no. A McDonald's
in close
proximity.
I mean,
I'm assuming. This place is way off.
I know where it is.
The McDonald's.
What happened to the corpse the next few days or so, or what a toxicology report's going to read.
Probably not going to be any drugs in her system.
Maybe.
No, I
Maybe
think
not.
She killed almost instantly, I think, according to what has been written so far. But, I mean, they have not released that yet.
So you believe she was killed in the car. Now, Colin, that brings up another point. If you believe she was killed in the car, then definitely there would have to be some DNA in the car, right?
Yeah, but he cleaned his car all day.
Yeah, but there's a reason light is still.
He had the mother in the car at 11 o'clock, so how does he clean the car all day?
You can't clean blood out of the
car. You can't clean blood out of the car.
One plus one plus one equals three. You keep adding up. It's building up against that. They're building it. And I mean, it's adding up.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm just
trying
to find the motive is going to end up being.
Well, thank you, Colin.
Yeah, I'm praying for y'all's family. I know y'all don't want this on y'all.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for both families, because don't nobody want nothing like this on nobody. So don't think that we as Memphians aren't praying for the family on both sides. We're Memphians. We don't want
no.
that shit up in Memphis.
No, I believe we're all in agreement on that part.
Yes.
Well, Colin, I'll leave you with this one last question. Do you believe the fact that she was an heiress to the Orgill fortune play any role in this at all?
Honestly, when she came out missing, I didn't know her. I really didn't know the Orgill. I actually had to research it. And I've lived here for 43 years. I mean, I grew up here. But do I believe it played a role? Unless you knew her background, I don't know. I don't know if she made it known to people. I don't know enough about her to say, that did she make this known?
Okay. Listen, y'all, this is what I'm going to do. I had a whole bunch of questions for tonight's show, and I'm just going to put them out there because, you know what, I feel like there's still some unanswered questions regardless of whether or not it appears that the whole case has been wrapped up in 72 hours. I just beg to differ with that. The question is, was your life insurance policy on Eliza Fitch, Fletcher? And if so, how much? Was there domestic abuse in the Fletcher household between Eliza and Richard, as has been reported? Does Richard Fletcher have a drug and gambling problem, as has been reported?
They came from one of her.
This was in the waiting.
I don't think they've reported any of that.
Their report came from her family member.
What came from her family member?
They were saying something about what you were just talking about.
Okay.
About the drug habit.
They came about the drug habit with the husband, and there was domestic violence in their relationship, and he withdraw a large sum of money days before this. That was one of her family members said that. But it's brushed under the table.
That's a hell of a smoking
the same way we get reports that they supposed to search the vote come to World Health and vote there, but that's not televised in the media. We saying give him a fair trial.
What is Richard, where does Richard Fletcher work at? Where does Richard Fletcher work at?
Vote come to Memphis. What is it? Boat shop of Memphis? The Memphis Boat Cup Shop, something like that.
That's where he works, the Memphis Boat Shop. Okay. Listen, y'all, I also want to know, someone reported online that Richard Fletcher had said he had some form of mental illness. Does anybody know or can anybody confirm that? Does he have some form of mental illness, and did that play a role in this whole thing? And basically, who inherits Eliza's portion of the Orgill estate? So I think that would go to the children, which means that Mr. Fletcher would then be over the children's money, I would think, seeing that he was the father. But that's just a question I have, not accusing him of anything. Let's see. And also want to know how did Richard's friend happen to locate Eliza's cell phone in the water? I'm sorry?
I think it'll stay in the trust. I'm sure you've heard of those.
No.
I had a family member lost their grandfather. All their insurances stayed in the trust. They didn't. The family wasn't allowed to touch it until they were 21. And then the
right.
Got it.
Gotcha.
A lot of things that we not saying out of respect for her family. You see what I'm saying? They don't want us wanting to do anything disrespect towards her family. But from what the report's saying, it's not her portion of the orgia. They were saying she was the sole heir of the throne. So they would make a lot of suspects in the family. They said she was the sole heir, meaning nobody else in the family wasn't entitled to their money. It wasn't a portion. I may be wrong, but that's in the book. And it was
right there.
Wow.
They
yeah,
said she
That would put another twist in the story. And then, what's the kidnapping personal? If you all are going to say that Cleosa went out and did this at 4 o'clock in the morning, he was stalking her, this, that, and the other, why was he stalking her? Why? Did he, I mean, all the women in Memphis, he clearly drove to the other side of town where cameras are everywhere, flock cameras are everywhere around the University of Memphis. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, he just chose to stalk one person who happened to be connected to the person that he had kidnapped 20 years ago. That sounds suspicious.
I'm just saying, why kidnap him by his first place?
I'm sorry?
I mean, it's kind of like his history. I mean, once it's on you, it's on you. Like, why did he ride around without Lori in the car?
Okay.
Why do they keep saying that? The lawyer, the man that made the statement is her uncle when it's on the report that he is the husband's uncle.
He's the husband's uncle. Mike Kenny, who is actually the spokesperson for the family, is the uncle of Richard Fletcher. That part.
But do you see in the media? Her uncle.
I mean, because really, who kidnaps a jogger who has no money at 4 a.m. just to kill them? And they just got out of jail after 21.
A woman. Now, as they say, you know this happens daily. For no reason.
I do, but I just...
Of every color. Of every color, every day.
As I don't know. I hear you. I hear you. But if it wasn't a connection to the family, you know, with through Mr. Mike Kenny, Attorney Mike Kenny, and Mike Kenny, we love him. He's on the show, by the way. Then I would say, well, maybe, you know, maybe not. But I just think it's some kind of connection here between Mike Kenny working with Kemper Duran in 2000 when he was kidnapped, and then Mike Kenny also being the family spokesperson and the uncle of Richard Fletcher, Eliza's husband. So I just think there's a lot going on here. And since we open it up, back open your phone line, just in case you wanted to chime in on any of that. Was the body placed behind the duplex after the first search? If so, a hole put it there because Cleophas was already in jail. So
exactly.
did the body get placed there after they did the first search? And if so, that would mean somebody else put it there because Cleophas was in jail.
Exactly.
Okay. So why would Cleophas serve 20 years only to kidnap the niece of Kemper Duran's first or law partner from way back when? And end up back in jail. That just doesn't add up. Unless it was personal.
Well, unless there's some type of motivation for revenge on that. That's the only thing I can think of, just, you know, just speculating on that part. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think I would be trying to get some money out of that one. You know, missing out 20 years of everything, I'd be wanting to pay back on that one. So my killing her would not benefit anything.
I agree. And if Cleophas did have some involvement in it, do you really think he acted alone? Do you really think
not.
He
now, that, that I'll out. Never believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never believe that. But it's sure looking like somebody's ready for him to take the fall for everything, that's for sure.
That's true.
I believe the driver.
You said what, Colin?
I believe there was a driver.
Oh, you think it was a driver?
The name hasn't been released, but it said there was a driver.
Oh, I didn't
right.
hear that. I didn't hear that.
Right. Well, no, because, see, someone grabs her. Someone's got to hold her down, keep her quiet. You can't drive, hold a gun on her, or just hold her while you're driving at the same time. That's not going to happen.
Mr.
So
Jerry, have you heard
involved.
That? Mr. Jerry.
I haven't heard nothing about no driver. Nothing else about nobody else, but I agree with what he's saying. It do take more than one person. And if they had somebody else, they wouldn't have held their name and not held these charges. They would have had both of them everywhere on these cases. What's going on? I'm just pointing out and saying that it's a lot of us in America that got questioned. We're not going out what we see on TV. And I'm saying hold off on the crucifying and belittling my family, and let's just see what's come out and watch this trial. Stop attacking my family. Stop chasing them for innocence and all of that. We just saying, let's watch and see what come out. We don't know nothing. But the evidence don't look good, what we seeing. It's fishy.
I agree. So how did police connect the theft of the wallet and the movie theater with Cleophas? So quickly, how did that come together? I mean, we're talking about a small petty crime and the use of a couple of credit cards. So how did Cleophas get connected with a crime that happened way out in the Bartlett area at the Malco Theater somewhere on Germantown Parkway? Or what is that? Is that Bartlett or is that another area, is that Bartlett?
It's Bartlett. It's right up straight up on 64.
Okay, so we're talking about the Malco Theater over there, and some kind of way on 64, and some kind of way, a petty theft that occurred over there ends up connecting with
you
this
did And you behind hit Summer, you head on down there and make them.
Right behind Walgreens. I know exactly where it's at. Right. So I'm trying to figure out where, how did they put it together? A petty theft of a wallet, less than $1,000 in credit card use.
Because of her status, the FBI gave them permission to get cell phone records of who was clicking around there. And then with him being in the database, they found his DNA. Had he not been in the database, they may not have put this together as quickly.
Wait a minute, caller. Hold up. I know that area way too well. And there's thousands of cars that run through Summer Avenue on that end daily. So you mean to tell me that for a petty theft that happened over there on 64, that the police went in their database and said, who else phone is clicking in that area? That didn't happen.
I'm talking about it where she was. Now here, I'm okay, we got video cameras everywhere. Because over Malco, Walmart, all the way down on Bartlett, that's BPD. They got cameras there.
Right. I mean, McDonald's, BPD. Walgreens. Right. So now you're saying that the body, that some kind of way Eliza was all the way out on 64 as well?
He did the robbery the night before on the other woman.
Right. So how did that happen? How did they catch up with the wallet so quickly and connect it to crime?
Unless there was a transaction he made that got traced right back to him that he used that card for, that's the only way you're going to catch somebody that quick.
All right, y'all.
That's
one of the big question marks today. And then they went back and found video footage of him wearing sandals. So I just don't believe, let me say it like this then. I don't believe that there was anybody that had time in the police department to be working on a theft of a wallet. This case was coming through at the same time. So the question again is, how did they connect this wallet being stolen at the Malco Theater over on 64 to the kidnapping and possible murder of Eliza Fletcher? Makes no sense.
I don't think we'll know at all until everything's released.
Right.
And until everything, we're all just speculating.
What the media's doing the same thing. I mean, every day when you read the newspaper, do you really believe that's 100% fact? Not at all. So,
I think we all
going to agree. Ding, 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 we agree on something else.
You think we all what?
I'm going to agree on no.
Okay, gotcha. So why didn't MPD tell the city of Memphis that 99 kidnappings had occurred between January 1 and the end of August? Because had that been out there, don't you think more women would have been on alert and possibly Eliza Fletcher would not have been jogging at 4 a.m.?
I believe crime stats need to be released to us.
Oh, wow.
I'm shocked that never came out.
I also believe that I'm a firm believer in women changing up their routines, but it's hard because you get used to a routine. As women, we're taught to change your routine. At least my father taught me that.
Well, I'm sure you was also taught to have your knife or a gun on you while you're out there jogging late at night or something like that.
I don't do it at 4 o'clock, but my niece does. Well, so she does. Yeah. She does do it.
Hmm.
Well, I take a gun with me when I take out the trash.
That part. So it was told to us by the family that Cleosa has a sleeping disorder. which, you know, basically, if I'm understanding correctly, Mr. Jerry, he can be standing up talking to you and fall asleep.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, that is correct.
So it would not be odd for someone who has a sleeping disorder to be out late at night, then, I would think, because they can't sleep. But that doesn't make them guilty of a crime. And I'm not, again, I don't know Mr. Cleosa or anybody else, but I'm just saying this particular situation, we should reserve our opinion about guilty or innocent until we decide that we have gotten all the facts. And I just don't believe all the facts have come in 72 hours. I just don't believe that. It just didn't happen. You say what?
I do believe we have a lot more coming. But, I mean, I really hate to hear that we have more coming because I hate to hear what happened to that woman. I mean, I could lie to you. I pray she wasn't raped. I pray that nothing else has happened to her, and at least maybe she got some type of peace. She is now because I believe in God, but I'm just telling you, just something ain't right. And I don't know, maybe if it was him, if he was angry because he had to do 20 years in jail. He took it out on her.
But then that means that, does that mean that he knew who she was or didn't know who she was?
I mean, there's possibility.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Jerry, didn't you say that they confiscated some things from the house of Mr. Fletcher? What were those things that they took out of the house?
That was in the media. I mean, you can pull that up from the first day when they went back to the house. They took the husband, truck, and some. Hold up. I'm not trying to start feelings at this family. Let's get this understood. I'm sadly saying I want to be able to speak out and say that this case ain't fishy.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts us to hear how they.
That's the family's thing. But I think for everybody who thought I was wrong to bring the family on tonight, I think you all are absolutely wrong not to feel like the family had a right to speak out at this particular point. If they feel like Cleosa is being railroaded and they wanted to come out and say to the world, hey, y'all, we think it's more going on here. This thing does not add up. I think they had every right to do that. And if anybody say I didn't allow a platform for everybody to say something tonight, that would not be true. We're going to take a few more minutes. If you have a question or a comment and are already on the phone line, because nobody else can get in. If you are already on the phone line and you have a question for Mr. Jerry, if you have a comment, press one now and we'll take your call. But I don't want anybody to say I stacked the deck. Mr. Jerry has been very polite and has taken everybody's question that had one for him. And so
that
I don't know how it can be any more fair. Say what?
I say, and he's also taking their criticisms.
Exactly. Exactly. Most people couldn't do that. Most people would be very
right.
angry if anybody, you know, had a comment, a negative comment about their brother or sister. Well, Mr. Jerry, is
I look
there anything
it like, you... Huh? I look at it like this. Anybody, any one of them, if it was y'all family member, y'all would be saying, show us the evidence. If y'all seen something suspicious, y'all would say y'all see something suspicious. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing.
So you're asking anyone if they saw anything to come forward and tell the police?
Now I'm saying from what's being reported in the news, do some of us see fishy, and I'm calling it on his face, saying there is a lot of things that's been said, that's been reported that look fishy. It don't make sense. It just don't.
And y'all, and to be honest with you, everybody in the chat, in one way or another, said everything isn't adding up. You know, now whether or not you believe he's guilty or innocent, that's on you. But for the most part,
right.
I saw the average person was saying it's not adding up. And I think anything that gets resolved in 72 hours, it stands to reason that something else is going on, that there's more to it. And I think the fact that the police chief has said it's an ongoing investigation probably indicates that there's something else coming out. And then the fact that they're saying it took two people to do this. I remember the report said that they put her on the passenger side. Well, if they put her on the passenger side of the vehicle, they didn't say the back seat. They said the passenger side of the vehicle. How was he able to drive? How was he able to get to the driver's side and still leave her in the front seat? He would have literally had to knock her out before he put her in the vehicle. And then still he couldn't be certain she was knocked out. Enough for
well,
him
you
to
sure would have to kill me on that one.
Huh?
You would have to kill me on that because I'm not going nowhere.
You know, how does he know that she wasn't pretending to be knocked out? So it just stands to reason somebody else may have been in the vehicle because I just don't know how he could have maintained how he could have managed to keep her still while he drove and be certain that she wasn't going to get away. Did he tie up her hands allegedly? I mean, what are we saying happened? Did he knock her out allegedly? I mean, how was he able to?
I think there was another driver. There was a driver, and the name is not being released. I don't know which news channel I read that on and which affidavit I read it on, that they weren't releasing the name or if it was the police. I'd have to go back and look, to be honest with you. But I will say that they said that the name was not being released at the time.
Are there multiple affidavits?
I think we're going to see a bunch of them tomorrow.
Okay. But, Mr. Jerry, you have not heard anything about a driver?
I haven't.
Okay. So the family has not heard anything about a driver?
I mean, most of us have read that.
Have read that there was a driver.
Yes.
And you know what? I did a lot of research for this show, and I didn't find that anywhere. And I thought I was pretty thorough, but I absolutely did not pick up anything about another person. Because, you know, typically it will say Cleo, the absent and an accomplice, kidnapped her. I never saw the word accomplice. I never saw the word driver.
No.
Now,
and of course, from what they're trying to say is that, well, since he's not saying anything, he, you know, that's not even coming up.
I'm not saying it's not out there. I just didn't find it. So, y'all.
Just speculation.
Okay. Mr. Jerry, final comment tonight on what you think or what you want people to know.
I just want people to know that I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that's seeing discrepancies in this case.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable doubt. You see what I'm saying? But
what?
A lot of stuff just don't add up. You get up and call your friend to go looking for, and you go admit to the world that y'all using these slides and water bottles and stuff that was bought from another scene where he found it and brought it to the house. Y'all gonna tell us that y'all finna use it. That's not, police normally say if you done picked it up, we can't use it. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff, man. We ain't got time to dig in a lot of stuff that if you did your extensive back, I mean, research on this case, you have seen that. He supposed to brought these items to the house. Why don't y'all release this? Talking about some, I don't get it. It's a lot of stuff I don't get, and we'll be all night because it's a lot of stuff that I haven't pointed out because I'm all over the place. We got to wait on this trip.
Well, let me say this then. And I agree with you, but we all kind of been all over the place on the show tonight because it's so many layers to this. But I agree, you're not supposed to tamper with evidence. I mean, I thought I read somewhere that it said Mr. Fletcher went out riding looking for his wife. Did anybody else hear that? That he went out too looking for the wife? You did hear that?
No, I didn't hear that one.
I did not.
You did not. Okay. So he never went out looking for her. He only sent out his friends. He's never made a statement to the public. I'm just saying, y'all. if that was my husband missing, I wouldn't need a spokesperson. I would absolutely tell people that I was looking for my husband to come back home, and if anybody knew anything, to please, you know, come forward and tell it. I would not make the reward conditional. I would say if anybody had any knowledge of what happened, to please come forward. I would not put a condition on the $50,000. I absolutely would have said, if anybody knows what happened to my wife, to please come forward. And anybody who had information that would lead to us finding her, I would pay $50,000 too. Not her safe return, because there was no guarantee that there would be a safe return. Just FYI. So I don't know what the answer is on this particular one, y'all. You know, there are a lot more questions than we got answers tonight on what happened to Eliza Flessner. But I think, in all fairness, everyone should reserve the hang the jury syndrome before, I mean, I think you should reserve that until it has been determined that all the facts have been presented. I think it's absolutely unfair to this young man. And again, I don't know him or his family, but I think it's absolutely unfair to bring out a lynch mob on a man in 72 hours. That's just unheard of. This is America. And so I say to MPD, I don't think you did due diligence in presenting all of the facts before you put this man out here as the person, you know, the main suspect, the person that allegedly did it, without stating if there was accomplices and what their roles may have been. So there's a lot more going on here than we realize. But tonight I took my time and tried to bring you everything we knew about this particular case. And again, to bring the family on, because there's always two sides to every story. And so tonight we wanted to present that. And so in the future, Mr. Jerry, are you promising me an interview?
Yeah, I do an interview, because it's not like us as a family is done anything wrong.
Okay.
We just said we want to go and we waiting on the trial. We waiting to see what they have conquered, just like everybody else supposed to, instead of forming lynch mobs. And we have to read that. Yeah, she got a family. And I even send my condolences to her family. And I stated if my family member done it, all we can say is he done messed up again, and he going to have to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
But to see how they find him, instead of saying what we saying, because a lot of y'all saying, I think he did it. Well, yeah, I think it's more to the story. Say that, because we should have all these questions that aren't answering we the public. They should answer our questions. They should show us everything.
I agree.
Because we do know if we have money. And we had money to send a high-priced lawyer in there. He would have went in there and told him, show me all the evidence. Now, you're going to charge him or release him. They would have to do everything they're supposed to. But when you're dealing with somebody, got to get a public defender and stuff like that. We can't get our questions in like that. Like, what? Come on, show us what you got. So all we can do is sit back and watch the trial like everybody else instead of trying to form a lynch mob and crucify these folks.
I agree. And I think one other thing, too, y'all, it's unfair, some of the comments that I've seen about Cleota's family. You all have drug out all the past of his siblings and anybody else that you all connected to the Abstin name. That's not fair, because no one is standing, charged with this other than Cleota. So to go and drag the entire family into it and make the whole family, you know, about being connected to this, or somehow they have to be all bad people, because I just think one thing has nothing to do with the other. And I just don't think it's fair that the whole family is being put on trial when only one member of the family is currently standing charged. Now, if that changes in the future, then you say something about whoever else is accused. But I don't think it's fair that you absolutely say every brother, you know, or cousin that has the absent name, you know, has got to be a bad person. I didn't think that was fair. Do you think that's been unfair to your family, Mr. Epson?
Absolutely, I think it's unfair. Absolutely, I think it's very unfair.
No. Don't do that.
Because with all the videos out here, it's rare to find somebody that's even on the show in the comments or anything that don't have a family member that ain't caught charged. And your whole family should be scrutinized for it.
I mean, because these other family members.
Find me a family where everybody's clean.
Right. And I think, you know, the problem is these other people have jobs and they have lives, and you all are dragging the whole family, anything that you, any dirt that you can find on the family, you all are putting it on social media. And I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right when you go and drag everything you can find on a family, because you're angry that one person may be guilty or may not even be guilty. We just don't know because it hasn't gone to trial yet. So, you know, tonight, y'all, that's all I wanted to do was present both sides. And hopefully I have done that tonight. Whatever your feelings are, yay or nay, if you feel like he did it or not, I just say don't hang the whole family, you know, and reserve some of the mean-spirited things that are being said until more comes out about this particular case, because it's just a lot going on and there's just no telling where this is all going to lead. Listen, y'all, we do this each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tonight we decided to do a special edition of this show because we wanted so badly to get an opportunity to tell you what we thought about this particular case and what we found in our research. So listen, tune us in to Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we bring you another great topic. Until then, good night.